Thank you.
Love Talk Radio.
Father, thank you for all the many blessings and for your anointing. Oh, my God. My God, for your anointing. You have been so ultra awesome. We bless your holy name. We thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes, Lord.
We bless your holy name. Now, Father, we ask for forgiveness for any sins we've committed, any sins of omission, any sins of commission. And Jesus, let this be an ultra awesome day. Bless the people everywhere. We thank you again and again for all things. Jesus' name, thank God. Amen and amen. I'm going to ask everybody to greet your neighbor. Amen. Those on the line here, please greet them and just take about a minute here, maybe 30 seconds. Just greet everybody. You can greet everybody at one time. Just thank God for you. Amen. Good morning. Good morning to all
morning,
of you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Saying good morning to everyone.
Thank you, Jesus. To you. Good morning to you and you. God bless you. Let's go into praise this morning. I believe God loves it when we come to Him praising Him. Would you help me praise Him? The line is open to you. This is our praise check. Amen. That means come on in and praise God. Lord, we praise you this morning. We thank you. We praise you. We appreciate you. We love you. We give you honor.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Deborah Johnson.
Sheila.
Welcome.
All right, Ambassador Pfeiffer, take over just for a moment here and just maybe get a...
Joy.
Yeah.
Unmuted.
Hold to the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing songs unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. And we thank God for that scripture being chosen, Psalms 105, 1 and 2, letting us know that in all things give thanks. At all time give thanks. If you can't do anything else, give thanks. If there are times you don't know what to do, give thanks. Amen. And we just praise God for our leaders, praising God for this new system we have, and we for this day that he has made, for he has made it, and we shall be glad in it. And we're praising him just while he's getting everything set up, getting things organized. We want to just praise God and thank him for the scripture this morning. And I know there are some still on here, and I just want to hear from Mother Johnson. I heard her voice doing the greeting. And we just would like to hear a word of praise from her. Mother Johnson, are you there from Kansas City, our international mother? Amen. We just want to hear a praise report from you this morning.
God bless you. Bless you, Dr. Pfeiffer. I am here this morning and praising and thanking God. I give honor to God this morning. I lead Dr. Johnson and First Lady Betty, and to all of you, Dr. Pfeiffer, and all Dr. Stern, every one of you. I just thank God because I'm well and alive and on the prayer line this morning. It makes me feel really highly blessed to know the Lord has look down on me and let me wake up on time for the prayer line. I'm so happy and glad to be a part of the people all over the world. God is in the blessing business, and I thank God is one of those things that we stay humble before the Lord can use us to his will and glory, because we are nothing without him. Without the Lord, we can do nothing. But with him, all things are possible to the believer. And I'm so happy to be a part of you this morning. Glad because the Lord has lifted me, and I praise God for it. Thank God. And you just keep on praying for Mother Jones, and I keep praying for you. God bless you. Oh, God bless you. Bless you.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Mother Johnson, for that praise report. We even praise God that the Lord allowed the day to come that you see your grandson come home from behind those walls. And I know
that.
Man.
We were looking for him and expecting him. We got nothing definite yet, but we will.
Amen. Amen. And we just praise God. And I hear children say all the time, somebody must have been praying for me. My grandmother was praying for me. And I think parents devote more prayer over their grandchildren than a lot of the parents do. And that's why the children can feel the prayers of their grandparents. And we just thank you for hanging in there, not giving up on him. Praise God. So many people give up on their children, and we just praise God. Sister Geraldine Hughes, give us a praise report this morning.
Oh, I thank God for waking me up this morning and getting me on this prayer line. And I thank him for all my kids this morning. And I just thank and praise the Lord. Just thank the Lord. I can't thank him enough. And I'm so thankful to be done with my program I'm doing. And tonight is the final night. And, Lord, I can't wait to get it over. And I'm just thanking God for getting me through this.
Amen. Praise God for that. Thanking God for you being so devoted and dedicated to the prayer line. We want to hear from some of our men. Minister Davis, are you there?
He's not here today.
Amen. Well, God bless you. Ambassador Johnson is back in your hands. God bless you.
No, I'm not ready yet. Go ahead. It might Oklahoma.
Can we hear from Elder Coates there?
Elder William.
God Brother bless you.
Pastor Wilson.
Report.
Let's try Pastor Wilson. He may be there.
Wilson?
Yes, ma'am.
Pastor Wilson. God bless you. Are you there? Amen. You're falling on my mind a few seconds ago. Pastor Wilson, can you give us a praise report? I know some might be trying to come off mute, and we just thanking God anyway for what he's doing and how he's doing it. Amen. Pastor, let's try Sister Lily. Hey, you there?
Hello, this is Pastor Wilson.
Pastor Wilson, God bless you. God bless you. It's good to hear your voice. Can you give us a praise report?
Yes, I just thank God for blessing me to have a mind to live for him and do his will and try to help others to salvation also. So that's, I'm thankful, you know, that.
Go ahead, Pastor Wilson.
You may have lost him. But hopefully you can reconnect. Pastor Wilson.
Mother Willie Johnson.
All right. Mother Willie Johnson. Give us a praise report this morning.
Praise the Lord. I just thank and praise God for another day. I thank and praise God for just waking me up this morning. Thank and praise God for all the people that's on the prayer line, Dr. Johnson. I just thank and praise God for his goodness. Yesterday I tried to get it back, but I couldn't get the line back. It went off some kind of way or something. So that's my praise report.
Amen. Praise God. We thank God for you. Amen. Now, I know we hear a lot from Ambassador Julie Hagan all the time. She makes such a wonderful announcement. She introduced prayer line every morning. And we just want to thank God for her and give God praise for her. Praise
Amen.
God. We want to hear a praise report from her this morning. She does a wonderful job introducing the line every day, morning, night. Amen. She's there for us, looking out for us, making sure the word of God is spread worldwide. Ambassador Julie Hagan, that is an ambassador. Amen. You're on the job. God bless you. Can you give us a praise report?
Oh, praise the magnificent name of the Lord. God bless you so very much. We do honor the presence of the Lord. His presence is with us on this line this morning. We do honor our Chief Ambassador, International Ambassador Chief Dr. Bernard Johnson. We do honor Imam Ambassador Lady Betty, who's our first lady of this line. We honor Mother Adley Johnson, Mother to the Nation. We do honor Ambassador Stern, Ambassador Pfeiffer, Ambassador-elect Gina Hodges, Ambassador-elect Stiff, Ambassador-elect Pastor Moore. We honor Ambassador Bishop Hagan. We honor all of our other broadcasters, Pastors Strotter, and we just honor everybody that's on the line today. Each and every one of you are special in your own way, and we do appreciate each and every one of you, and we do love you with the love of God. And Ambassador Pfeiffer, thank you so much for this opportunity to give a praise report. And, you know, God is just so good. He just does so much for me. I hardly know where to start. It's not that I don't have one. I have so many. But as you extend this opportunity to me, I had remembers. It came to mind very quickly about Sunday, when the Lord had touched his sister to go by the nursing home to visit her brother. He'd been locked up in the nursing home for some time. And he was telling her how he was was unlocked for him to get out of there, but it wasn't him. But to make a long story short, they found him standing on the outside of the nursing home, and he was not trying to escape. And he said someone came and unlocked the door so he could get out. So he was standing there. And in the meantime, his sister came to pick him up, and he was telling her his story. Nobody else believed him but her. And she says, "You know what? I'm getting ready to go to church." And he said, "Well, can I come to church too?" And she says, "Yes, I will take you with me." Brought him to church. Make a long story short, the Lord invited him to his kingdom. He invited him to open his heart. He says, "I've never done it in all of my life." He was maybe about 60, going on 70. He said, "I've never done it in all my life, but I always wanted to." He said, "But I don't know how." Then the invitation was given, and he gave his life to the Lord. He came in, hallelujah, straight from the nursing home, but he went out a changed man. Glory to God.
Man.
And the glory of God all on his face. He wasn't crippled or bent over, but he went out straight from church with a praise on his heart. Now, I hadn't followed the story up to see what's going on in the nursing home, but you better believe he's not the same man. But God be the glory. I just want to give God praise for that. Hallelujah, that even if you have a loved one in the nursing home, if you've got faith enough, God can bring them out of there and you know, put them back to their family. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Ambassador Pfeiffer, and to God be the glory.
God bless you.
Thank you. All right. God bless you. Are you ready now, Dr. Johnson?
I think so. God bless you. Amen. Thank you so much, Ambassador Pfeiffer.
Amen.
Just want to try to get some things straight here while she would do that, and I appreciate it very, very much. And let me give you a word this morning. This is Friday, the Chief Ambassador's Day, and I just want to give you something that may take you through the weekend and next week. But we'll hear from others on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Ambassador Stern on Monday, Ambassador Pfeiffer on Tuesday, Ambassador-elect Stith on Wednesday, and Mother Willie Johnson on Thursday, and then I'll be back again on Friday. But I want to just read this. 2 Samuel 6, verses 12 through 14. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom," mm-hmm, "and all that pertaineth unto him." Yeah, yeah. Then it says, "Because of the ark of God." So David, mm-hmm, let me get this here. So David went and brought it up, brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. Verse 13, I'm in 2 Samuel 6. This is verse 13. And it was so that when they bare the ark of the Lord, and that they had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. Then verse 14 says, "And David danced before the Lord with all his might," with all his might. I want to talk to y'all today about take six steps and dance. Take six steps and dance. This message, people on this line who have had a rough time and you're having some struggles now, some trials and tribulations. It's for people who are going through some situations in your life, and trouble perhaps is knocking on your door. You know, life sometimes can be disappointing, and sometimes there are tests over here, trials over there. Sometimes down cities here and down cities there, uprises here, and sometimes it seems like what I've heard people say is true. That is, if it ain't one thing, it's another. See, Paul describes life like this in 2 Corinthians 4 and 8. He says, "We are troubled on every side, yet we are not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed." Sometimes in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your sorrow, maybe David can give you a solution. Maybe what he did can be a blessing to all of us. David says, when you're going through trials and tribulations and you've had tremendous tests, David says, perhaps one of the best things to do is to take six steps and dance. He says, don't take life so seriously all the time. Sometimes exemplify some joy.
Yeah.
You don't have to stay frowned up all the time looking like you're so deep.
Amen.
Maybe it's better sometimes to not take it so seriously. There is a spiritual, yes, but there is a natural side. And David says, take my advice. I've been through it all. I've had the highest of the high. My coronation was so high that people never thought they would see one like it. And David says, I've had, a power so high, so luxurious that you would never think people could live like that. And yet I had struggles in the midst of it, trials and tribulations in the midst of it. And I've learned something from the Ark of the Covenant, which was created by Moses. God spoke to Moses and told him to build the Ark of the Covenant. It was the most holy, holy chest, around 3 feet long, about two and a half feet high, and it was something to behold, and it was so sacred because of what God had Moses to put in the ark, which was representative of God himself. So most people thought that God was in the ark, the sacred spirit was in the ark, and what it represented was so strong until people were afraid of the ark of the covenant. But God, when he had Moses to build it out of acacia wood and shittim wood, S-H-I-T-I-M, which is the best wood ever, he had him to build it out of that, and then he had him to place the Ten Commandments that he wrote not once but twice. You remember when the children of Israel had worshiped that idol God and Moses came down the mountain and saw them doing it, committing spiritual adultery. And he took the Ark of the Covenant. He took the Ten Commandments, I'm getting ahead of myself, and threw them down the mountain and broke them into pieces because they were written on stone. But God wrote them again and had him to build this Ark of the Covenant and put the Ten Commandments in this Ark. And not only that, he had him to put, eventually, it wasn't written then, but eventually they put the testimony, which is the word of God, in the ark. So you had the Bible and the Ten Commandments in the ark. And so when they sealed it, my God, it represented God himself. So it had been sitting, first of all, at Abinadab's house. And David said, I want to go get it. Evidently, he must have heard, it's not in the text, but he must have heard that Abinadab and his whole house and family was being blessed. So he took 30,000 men, an army of 30,000, to go down and get this Ark of the Covenant. They put the Ark on a new cart driven by an oxen, and Abinadab, I guess for safekeeping, which was wrong in the first place, sent his two sons, one before it, Ohio, and one behind it, Uzzah, to basically, you might say, safekeep the ark. Now, that was wrong because, you see, the ark represented God himself. And you are a man, or you a woman, you can't safekeep God. God is the one who safekeeps you. And for you to send your sons the ark is wrong thinking. And so they're on their way, driven by this new ox and on a new cart, the way to the city of David, Jerusalem, and across Nashon's threshing floor. And when they do that, my God, thank you. And when he came in, he thought he would celebrate. Oh, my God,
yes,
I got the hawk back.
Yes.
I'm so happy I can't act like I'm king no more.
All thing. Right, now.
I got to praise him with all my might. I can't act like I got a doctorate degree. I can't act like I've been to school. No. This deserves, oh, my God, praise above all praise. I got to go crazy here. And David didn't have on, he took off his kingly garments. And they took, his servants took him on. And here he is with just a ephod on, just a linen, a long linen scarf. And he dances. He takes six steps, six paces, and dances all the way into the holy city. And the people see him everywhere, just dancing, almost leaping, leaping up and down and dancing. Oh, so like unusually. And his wife, who was Saul's daughter, showing that she had no spiritualism, looked and saw him dancing in the street like this and got angry. I don't have time to develop that part, but just let me tell you, he took those six steps and danced, just six paces and danced. Oh, my God. I began to look at that thing. I said, God, what would you have me to tell the people? I just got a few minutes. What do you have me to tell them? He says, give them some principles that will help them, to know that they don't have to take life so seriously and just let it always be serious all the time. They ought to have some fun in Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean sin. It means fun in Jesus Christ. Sometimes you ought to have some fun. And I tell people, listen, you don't have to make up no lies to have a laugh. Just watch what happens around the church. You can have if you just watch what happens in the church, it will bring joy.
Oh, Lord.
But let me bring these to you in a hurry here and tell you what comes out of taking six paces. Because I want y'all all day long, wherever you are, in your city, if you're in Africa, if you're in Asia, if you're in India or Brazil, or if you are in Afghanistan or the Philippines or wherever you are, in Russia, Germany, and all over the world where you're hearing me and on this prayer line, I want you today to just take six paces, six steps, and dance. Why? What will that do? Let me tell you some principles that will help you to know why it's so important. Dancing symbolizes rejoicing in Jesus Christ. Yeah. It means that you have put your hand in the hand of the Master and left all of those struggles in his hand. And you did like Jehaziel did, as Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel were faced with that huge army from the Moonites and from the Amorites and all the other Ikes and Dykes. He stands up and says, listen, Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord.
It's the Lord.
So you have to leave it in his hand. First of all, what does rejoicing do? What is taking six steps and dancing symbolize? What does it tell you? It tells you to learn to rejoice while you're going through. I don't think I have to develop that. You know that. Just praise him while you're going through. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care what struggle's going on in your life. I don't care how you've been rejected. I don't care what they did to you. Learn how to rejoice while you're going on your job, in your home, at church, in your car, while you're walking down the street, whatever the problem is. Don't let it sit on your shoulders. Release it. Learn that the battle is not yours, it's the Lord. Rejoice while you're going through. That's what six paces and dance tells you right away. Amen. I got to move on. Second thing, it tells you to be careful how you handle God. Be careful how you treat God. Be careful how you treat him. How do you mean that, Dr. Johnson? Well, here is other. At the back of the ark as they coming through. And let me tell you, this time, instead of putting him on the second time on the oxen, they did it differently. But the first time, Uzzah reached out his hand and put it on the ark. Yeah. and try to steady the ark. You don't steady God. God steadies you. You're the one who's leaning. You're the one who's shaking. You're the one who's falling down sometimes. You're the one who's going through the struggle. God puts his hand on you and holds you. I wish I had time to develop that a little bit more. So I see a whole lot of people think that God is doing this and God is doing that. But God doesn't have to do anything to you. He doesn't have to afflict you, nothing else. All he got to do is lift his hand off of you. If you lift, the enemy will be able to. I wish I had time to show you that, but I don't. But be careful how you treat God. Don't put your hand on God. Don't treat him like that. Reverence him all the way. And if you got a woman or a man of God, reverence them in the name of Jesus. Be careful how you treat God's people. Be careful.
Amen.
They represent God. They represent God. Be careful. Amen. I don't have time to tell you much more. But the third thing, let me say this. Not only does six steps dancing represent that you need to learn how to rejoice when while you're going through. Not only does it say to you, be careful how you handle God. But the third thing it says is that you ought to just go a little ways and then make a sacrifice. I want to say it again. It tells me, when I read it, I saw this principle. It's telling us by taking six steps and dancing, it's telling us go a little ways. Six steps is a little ways. And then David says he made a sacrifice. Yeah. See, that's the reason why perhaps you're not so close to God. You're trying to go a long ways and then making a sacrifice. No. The text is telling us to go a little ways and then make a sacrifice. Go a little ways and pray some more. Go a little ways and fast some more. Just go a little ways and have your faith increase. See, don't go a long ways. Don't go 2 or 3 months. Don't go 4 or 5 years. No. That's a long ways. Go a little ways. Go 2 or 3 days, 4 or 5 days. Go every Tuesday and sacrifice and fast. Go every Friday and make a sacrifice and fast. Whenever it is, I try to go just a little short ways every day. See, that's why we got the blog line every night, because I'm going a little ways and we're sacrificing and giving God 1,000 praises. In fact, 1 billion praises with people coming around the world, 2 billion praises now with all the countries joining. And we're sacrificing. That is our time. When you give up yourself, you're sacrificing unto God. Don't go a long ways and sacrifice. Go a little ways. David took steps and just shouted the kingdom down. Listen, just go a little ways. I can say more, but I got to move on. Not only does he tell us in this text, go take six steps and dance. What does that mean? It means, first of all, learn to rejoice while you're going through a storm. And then secondly, what does that mean? It means be careful how you handle God, how you treat God, and be careful how you treat God's man, women. Why? Because it's very, very, very important. You don't want to put your hand on God's anointing. Touch not thy anointing and do thy prophet no harm. The third thing, go a little ways and then make a sacrifice. Don't go down the road. No. Just a little while. Fast and pray. But I think the last thing that I want to tell you, what does six steps and dance mean? Well, Mikhail helped us to get this. Mikhail, Saul's daughter, helped us to get this last point, this last principle. What is it? Don't allow anything or anybody to stop your praise. Don't allow anything or anybody to stop you from praising God. See, that's not referring to here when we have a certain time that I give you that we're going to praise God. We have to have an ending and a beginning and an ending. But this is referring to you letting people stop you from giving God what his just due is, and you stop praising God, not just for a few moments. I'm talking about a whole day, a whole year, 2 years. Somebody hurts your feelings, and you take it out on God? Are you crazy? Ooh. He's the one who gave you life. Some of y'all, you made a mistake yesterday, and today you can't praise him because of mistakes. See, that's the enemy trying to keep you from praising God. He's trying to stop your praise. See, he's trying to get you in a habit of not praising God because
right.
it's just like people at church. I wish I had time on this thing. Like people at church. See, if they stop going to church one Sunday and miss that Sunday, the next Sunday the devil will tell them, well, you know you got to do this. It becomes
yes,
easier
Lord.
The next Sunday to miss church. And if you miss two Sundays in a row, then the enemy will use that something to happen in your home where you miss three Sundays in a row. And then all of a sudden, you've missed a whole month. You missed two months.
Lord.
Then you're ashamed to come back to church. He's using that then to keep you from praising God. And all of that is about letting the enemy stop your praise. Don't
amen.
Let the enemy about it. Stop your praise. I don't care.
Right.
If you made a mistake yesterday, repent of that mistake, turn from it, and don't let anything stop your praise. If you cuss somebody out, I hope you didn't, but I'm just trying to illustrate this thing. You got to tell God you're sorry, get away from that thing, and don't let it stop your praise. Don't take things out. God deserves your praise. He deserves